for Monday, April 1st. Yes, that's right. The episode is late because I was hit by a fucking car. We talk about the DuckTales Remastered announcement, Little Inferno, and Tomb Raider. Welcome to the 16th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Moneysmith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And thank you so much for listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. I apologize if I seem to be really slurry. If I seem to be going kind of slow, I'm high as fuck right now on painkillers. So
no more context.
No more context. I was in a car accident. That's enough. So we're here to talk about some video games. We have a multiplayer section where you asked us a couple of questions, and we will try to answer them as best as we can. Fellas, is there anything else we need to say by way of introduction?
No, so everyone can have a point of reference, you know those sections of Far Cry 3 where it gets all trippy? This is going to basically be that in podcast form.
I suppose, yeah. I'll put in a bunch
hey,
of...
Hey, it worked for Rush Limbaugh.
I'll just...
Sorry.
You bite your tongue.
Sorry, was that over the line?
You bite your tongue. To be fair, I did buy a gold RE20. audio joke. He actually does. Rush Limbaugh is so pompous that he uses a gold-plated microphone.
Do we draw the line there?
No, it's one of those things where if it was anybody else, I would say, eh. But because it's Rush Limbaugh, I'm like, ah, fire away. But
I mean, it's what he does to other people for a living, so.
Yes, I suppose. I forget how we got onto that. I don't have a gold-plated microphone.
But you should.
I'm on muscle relaxers. So I'm not tense for the first time in ages. So let's do the brief.
How does it feel, Cole, to be normal?
I don't like it. I have no ambition. I just want to nap all the time. The brief. We talk about news things that happen in the world with stuff. Does anybody want to volunteer something?
I have some closure. This isn't new news by any stretch of the imagination, but it's kind of closure to a story we've talked about at a couple different places.
Okay.
Which is that the EA CEO, John Riccitiello?
Riccitiello.
It's like that Behenna Henna Henna Stood Town or whatever that thing was. Yeah. He resigned. And
yes.
I think there's a whole mess of things leading up to that, but certainly the fiasco with SimCity didn't help.
It's,
was probably the I beam that broke the camel's back.
His the problem was that he took over in 2008, roughly around the time he took over shortly before that, but EA's stock price really tanked in 2008, and it's never really recovered. So I think that it has more to do with this is him falling on the sword for very poor earnings across the entire company. That is entirely my understanding, because SimCity wasn't the only huge debacle. They also had Dead Space sold way under expectations this year too. They were banking on that being a huge deal like Dead Space 2 was, and it just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
SimCity definitely contributed probably to some of it, but I wouldn't go so far as to say CEO is on DRM, it gets rid of CEOs.
I was just going to say, as someone who hates what went on with SimCity, I feel a little bit vindicated,
I was only moderately pissed off until they are annoyed or whatever. I guess I didn't buy the game, so I don't have the right to be very pissed off. But
no, I think that's the only thing that gives you the right to be pissed off, because if you're pissed off at them and you still gave them your money, that's a little hypocritical.
Right. But in what I felt was especially bad was, did you see the thing they did to make it, make it up to people, where it's like, choose from one of five games that no one wants?
which were the games?
It was whatever the previous SimCity was.
Oh God, that had to be a joke, for somebody, and then they said, "Oh, let's do it."
Bejeweled.
Okay.
Dead Space 3.
All right.
Which is semi-legitimate. I'd have to look up the thing, but they were almost all just... they just weren't that good. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. I feel like if you've screwed up that bad, it either should have been we'll give you a refund or it should have been any game.
Yeah. Well,
least do like a Crysis 3, a game someone might actually want.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. They're limited to, you know, to only games that they make, right? You know, to only EA games. But there's plenty there. They should have just given some origin credit or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Hmm. I don't know. But John Riccitelli, he seemed like a pretty cool guy. Like, in terms of, like, when you watched him, like, you know, when you heard him talk, he was a little bit more kind of down to earth and more aware of what was happening in video games than other CEOs would be. So that's kind of a shame. Like, he's kind of credited for, like, the, you know, even though the stock price dipped in 2008, he's kind of credited with being the person who's like, hey, Mirror's Edge, hey, Dead Space, hey, this new IP, right? Which ended up not being a very good financial move, but it kind of went a long way towards winning some goodwill back for EA itself.
Yeah, he's got a golden parachute the size of Manhattan. So yeah, there's nothing that's a shame about this.
Yeah, he's got like 2 year salary as severance. It's something crazy.
See, but that's what surprised me about this whole SimCity thing is it seemed like EA was starting to get to the thing where, you know, I would read on forums where it'd be like, yeah, I used to think EA was the devil, but lately, you know, maybe they're all right. And then, like, they did this thing, and I don't know. I'm surprised that after they did so much and, you know, started to build up some goodwill, that they basically threw it all away.
I don't know.
When did Burnout Paradise come out?
January 2008.
2008. So that was right around the time. And I mean, I guess that game would be in development before he stepped up to the plate, but I remember thinking that EA just knocked it out of the park with that game, especially in the way they supported it.
Yeah.
So maybe he had something to do with that. Maybe he didn't, but
yeah.
Were they not making a profit, or that's, you know, what's, I mean, cause most of the big EA games, with the exception of Medal of Honor, my understanding is were successful.
Yeah, but like not successful enough. Like it wasn't living up to investor expectations is the problem. You can be earning a lot of money, but if it's not enough a lot money, then or a lot enough. Huh.
So basically it wasn't so much that they did anything wrong, it was just that they didn't appease the
Yes, the bloodthirsty cannibals who are stockholders. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, everybody who owns stock is a bloodthirsty cannibal.
Well, I didn't want to tell you, but all I'm saying is don't snoop around in my closet.
Yeah, well, more like your freezer. Your
No. You want them to caramelize.
Your chest freezer, which is a freezer in the basement that is full of chess. I've got a story. I've got a story. Can I tell it?
Do it.
Sure.
Okay. DuckTales. Capcom is remaking it.
Oh yeah.
So we did the NES DuckTales on Watch Out for Fireballs about a year ago, and it was a really popular episode. It's a really good game. The second this was announced, just like people were blitzing us with this announcement. So
you made this happen.
Yes. We did. Wow. We made the Torment sequel mm-hmm. happen. We mm-hmm. we are movers and shakers. I'm not really a shaker. I'm more of a Mennonite. They're redoing the art.
Maybe a Quaker.
Yes. I did have oatmeal this morning. Oh God. Help.
Spiraling.
pull the ejector seat. No, they're doing new art. They have the voice actors from the animated series. coming back.
Is it still going on, or are they bringing them back out of retirement?
They're bringing them back. They are unfreezing them.
I just want to think there's some kind of box in the basement, Pulp Fiction style, that they bring these voice actors out of whenever they need them.
Bring out the Scrooge. So they also had
the
to
Scrooge
make it,
would be a great name for a gimp.
Wow,
he's very miserly with his cries.
I've got to be honest. I don't know when I made this transition, but I now just imagine Scrooge just having the voice of Donald Trump. Like that's just who I imagine he must sound like.
They're also making the game significantly easier, which may or may not be a good thing depending on who you're talking to, but you can probably crank the difficulty up if you would like. It's going to come out on all the usual digital distribution channels this summer: PlayStation Network, Wii U eShop, and the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah. So DuckTales was one of the first shows I watched as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a good show.
Yeah. I thought that fan was so cool that the person glided on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's definitely good. I'm happy that it's weird that Capcom still has the rights to make a DuckTales video game. I would imagine that
they really bided their time on that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, didn't you? I can't remember, but I feel like in the episode you guys made some sort of reference of like this game is never going to be
remade
or re-released or whatever.
Well, you're talking about something that Disney owns, right? I mean, DuckTales is Disney, and they are notorious for how they manage their IP, their intellectual property. That is what IP stands for, in case you didn't know. It's one that you would expect to be tied up because of that, because they went to Capcom and said, like, hey, make us this thing. Capcom made them this thing, and it was awesome, and then they never touched it again. Although there was a sequel, but not many people knew about it. I'm excited. It looks neat.
Nice.
Yeah. Who else has a story?
I have one that is also about a game coming out, but it already came out, and I just found out about this today. Okay. The Walking Dead Survival Instinct. Yes. So the point of this story is stay away from that game. Apparently it's just a sort of trying to piggyback on the success of the Telltale games. It's made by Activision, and it's based on the show instead of the comics. But yep.
It is a prequel to the show. You play as the Dixon brothers, or more appropriately, Daryl Dixon, the guy with the crossbow.
Yeah,
it looks real bad. I read a lot of reviews. It was like watching a car crash. Did they recall it for being? Oh wait a minute, what?
I said timely.
I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, I keep on reliving it whenever I close my eyes. it will haunt me for years. No. So did they recall it? Did they come out and apologize?
Not yet, but it has a score on Metacritic at least of 36 out of 100.
Ooh,
so.
Wow.
I was just going to.
Is that the shooter?
Yeah. Kind of. It's the kind of shooter.
You can sneak if you want to. You can leave your friends behind to get eaten by the zombies. But, I don't know. The point of that story is just stay away from it if you like the Telltale game at all.
Yeah. Like, and if you're hungry for everything with The Walking Dead in the title, you know, like, I'm partway through season 3 of the show now. It's real good. The comics are real good. I couldn't blame somebody for seeing it on the shelf and saying, huh, neat, I like this thing, because that thing is worth liking. However, yeah. Ugh.
I almost started watching The Walking Dead last night.
Oh, really? Why did you not?
Because I found Archer season 3 on Netflix, and I have not seen that yet.
I have not seen that either.
So I just, I binged on like, you know, 5-6 episodes in a row of that. Yep.
David, any stories?
I'm actually, did we do a brief last week?
I don't think
no.
you did.
No.
All right, then I'm going to do what I meant to do last time. Did you see they're making a Saints Row 4?
Yes.
Yes.
We so, both say tentatively.
Well, I mean, they're making a Saints Row 4. And apparently the plot line is that the head of the Saints gets elected president.
Okay.
Which is kind of confusing because I'm pretty sure my character was British, but we'll just, yeah. you know, overlook
it also
that.
Means, it also means that he piggybacked Burt Reynolds, which is not likely.
You know.
Yeah. Also, but, your protagonist could be a zombie, too. So,
but well, by I mean, zombie, too, I mean he was a sequel doesn't to a zombie. Say you can't elect a dead guy. But in that respect, it kind of reminds me of the jokes we keep making about, you know, Arkham Country, Arkham World. I guess now Saints Row is doing that.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome if you had the entire U.S. military at your disposal.
Well, apparently, what happens is that aliens invade, and you have to deal with that, and maybe they like. They transport you to some sort of like simulation type thing or something.
Okay.
And apparently you gain superpowers at some point.
Oh man. I wouldn't awesome. I, like they have to keep it they have to keep going more and more absurd. Like that is entirely what Saints Row the Third thrived on.
Right.
Yeah.
The only thing I could see it being bad is just you know, if at some point it loses some of, you know, like Saints Row the Third was completely over the top.
Don't make me laugh, man.
Sorry. Over the top, like crime gangster game, but was still, you know, you were still basically a gangster.
Uh-huh.
You know, you were just one that could like shoot down helicopters and throw people 20 feet.
Why not?
Yeah, it was still like a Grand Theft Auto setting.
Right.
It might not be able to achieve that if it has aliens in it, so yeah.
Or like, it was looking like you get superpowers to the level of like, I don't know, like I-beams or something.
Okay.
Was that the I-beam that broke the camel's back?
I mean, Grant, I loved... Infamous, and the one good thing is that it being Saints Row, if the game ever does the jump the shark, you know that'll happen when you literally jump a shark.
So. Oh man! Good.
I was going to say, important question: have they licensed Kanye West music for this game yet?
I don't know, but I remember it being extremely well used in the previous one.
Yes.
I heard someone say that his next record coming out is going to be titled I Am God, so feels like appropriate stuff for Saints Row the Fourth.
Why not?
What is it going to be? Saints Row 4?
I heard just 4.
Saints Row just 4?
No, as in Saints Row 4.
Saints Row. Saints Just Cause Row 4. Skyrim scrolls.
The grind.
Yeah.
So many episodes you do that as a pained question.
I'm so sorry. In this case, it is literally I'm pained.
you're always so tentative about going in.
Well, I worry that I'm cutting people off as I usher us forward.
Oh, we'll bullshit as long as you let us. You know that.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So cool. What have you been grinding on?
Got him.
You took Ben's like.
It's fine. I was gonna hold back this week. I'm self-conscious about it now.
It's your show, man.
No, I think it's become a thing now.
Yeah, it's crossed over. It's now acceptable again. So yes, because all my video games are in storage. I've been playing some mobile stuff. Can I tell you about some mobile stuff that I've been playing?
Please.
Yes.
Okay. Played a game on the iPad. It's also available on PC. It's called Little Inferno. It's real good. To say too much about like the story and where it goes is to spoil it. But the premise is you're kind of in this dystopia where the most popular toy for little kids is the little Inferno fireplace, which is a special fireplace that you keep in your house. And you order, you have a catalog that you can order more toys and then throw it in there and burn them. Okay, so like you have a city that's just full of these houses with smoke rising from them, blacking out the sky. It's causing like horrible environmental stuff. So the trick of the game, you're trying to get currency, you get by burning particular combinations of things. Right. So and they give you these combinations and like a recipe list, but they only list the names. So like if there's one that's called, like, for example, movie night, and you have among your options a cob of corn and a film strip or DVD or something like that, you throw those into the fireplace and you set them both on fire. And then you get that little achievement, which gives you more like little tickets, and it also gets you currency. And these tickets can be used to speed up the shipping time of stuff coming at you. And the currency is used to buy more, stuff. You have to unlock a certain number of combinations before you can move on to the next catalog, which has more stuff, which opens up more combinations. And, I didn't test it, so I'm not sure, but I think if you keep a chain going, like so long as you don't have to restart the fire, you just keep it, you just throw stuff on, over time, you get more reward for doing that. The items get real weird, as you go on. There are, you can put in a little moon that has its own gravity pull, so everything will go towards it. You can like summon an ice storm to put out all the fires. It gets real wacky. There's a turn to it. There's a twist. And once you get there, you'll definitely know what happens. But, it turns into an awesome commentary on some aspect of life that if I said what it was, it would ruin the game. So, yeah.
So cool. Did you start the fire?
Yes, I did several times. It's a short game. It's about 3 hours, which, is shorter than that song feels. So, oh man, ow. Yeah.
Are you in pain because of you're thinking of that song?
Yeah,
or?
It's so bad. We're baby boomers. We fucked up the world for you. it's real good. It works very well on the iPad. I understand you can play it on PC as well. There is no Mac version, unfortunately. But you should look up some footage from it because it's real cute, real charming. It's from the guys who did World of Goo.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Huh. Yeah, I was thinking about that when you were mentioning like a story twist and kind of the type of story that reminded me of World of Goo.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a similar message, but it has more nuance to it, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
It's real good. It's a fun game. The other mobile offering that I've been playing is Ridiculous Fishing.
All right.
Have you heard about this?
The other kind.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So this is iOS only, so I apologize if you don't have an iOS device. However, and everybody's been talking about it, so I feel like it's kind of like old hat right now, but I need to describe it to you guys so you can know what it is. So you play as a hillbilly sitting in a boat. As if there is any other way to fish. Fishing is fun. I don't know why I'm saying that. You cast out your line, and the trick is to get the lure as deep as possible. And if you hit a fish on the way down, you start reeling your way back up. So you want to avoid fish on the way down. And then, you know, either by mistake or intentionally, you want to snag a fish and then pull as many with you on the way back up. So you can keep an unlimited number of fish on your reel. and different fish count for different money values when you catch them. So you want to avoid jellyfish because they will take money from you. They're shifty characters. so you're avoiding them on the way down, trying to touch them on the way back up. You control all of this through tilt, which isn't as bad as it seems. And then when you get to the top, then stuff starts to get kind of weird because it flings all the fish up in the air and you pull out your gun. And then it turns into Fruit Ninja because you're trying to shoot all of the fish out of the air, and that's how you collect your bounty.
That sounds awesome.
So, I don't know what you're talking about. That's what we do on a Friday night down here in Alabama.
But yeah, no, it's real fun, and you can upgrade your equipment, so you can get longer lines, you can get better guns, like you can get akimbo Gatling guns or like blunderbusses and stuff,
yes.
Like rocket launchers and things, in order to make you more effective. So it's one of those awesome things where like your first couple of rounds you're in like $10, and then you're up to earning like $5,000 a round, you know, just because you become much more effective.
Can you ever fish out the lake that you're in?
I don't think you can. If you do move to different lakes and you're trying to catch them all, like you have there's a species list. Each of the fish has an entry in the Fishipedia, and those are all real funny. Like it's really a way for you to look up what the profile of the fish are. You know, like to make sure, like, hey, what kind of music do you like? Are you single? Stuff like that. No, to see what they look like, to see how much they're worth. But there are funny little descriptions in there as well. There's also a Twitter knockoff called Birder, which is spelled real weird, which that's how the story of the game is told as you like do things. It's real fun. It's real goofy. Like you, there are two upgrades you can get that attach a toaster and a hairdryer to your lure so that it'll kill the first fish that you touch as opposed to catching it. So it kind of gives you a second go, but you get money for killing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Of course.
It almost reminds me of. Go.
What was that old Legend of the River King or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like the Harvest Moon fishing game.
Yeah. All I remember is that you could fist fight bears.
As you do.
As you do. Oh, man. Ow. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing at your pain. I am so sorry.
I opted to do the show. I want to bring some normalcy back into my life and get the haunting sound of my tires screeching on the pavement out of my head. Please drown it out. Drown it out with my laughs. But it's so good. It's like $3. Something I like about it, like it's not like a free to play thing. So if it was made by any other people, or, you know, if it was made by another company, it'd be like, okay, you have the store, and you know, you get fun bucks that you can buy the stuff with. You know, you could fish about 1,000 times to get the special hat for your dude, or you could pay us $5 to get enough points to buy your special hat. No, yeah. It's all balanced for like you just earn this stuff by playing the game better, which is nice. Not to sound like, you know, get off my lawn with your with your in-app purchases that make lawsuits, but super good. It looks neat too. It's kind of like a cross between pixel art and vector art. Everything's made up of little triangles, so it's like a mosaic effect. Yeah. I really recommend it. It is a fun game for cool people.
I want to be cool.
I can't see it staying on staying exclusive forever either, so it will be out for other things, I assume. But that's what I've been playing.
I feel like that actually sounds like something that could be a fun like PlayStation Move or, you know, Wii Chucks game or something like that.
Wii Chucks. Wii Chucks this at the TV.
Yeah. I'm done talking about things.
Since you're talking about mobile games, do you mind if I go? Because I actually, the only new thing I've got is another mobile game.
Do it.
So since we're on a roll, I found a little game called New World Colony. And it's basically Settlers of Catan Lite.
Okay.
And it is freaking amazing. And at least when I downloaded it, the basic version of the game was free. And I don't think it's anything where it's trying to get you to do in-app purchases or stuff like that. Like, I haven't encountered anyone who's paying to play, and there doesn't seem to be any way to pay to get additional benefits. It's you know, very self-contained. Mm-hmm. I think the the paid version of the game might have better, like, friend matching or stat tracking or something like that. So the freeness of it is not just a hook to get you to pay money.
Right.
But it's your basic, I don't know if it's basic, but, you know, resource management game where you kind of start out on a randomized map with each tile being a different type of resource. There is, excuse me, there's food, there's wood, there's stone. And then there's, you know, you can get gold by selling those things, or some special mountain regions have gold in them. And
would you say there's gold in them hills?
yes, I would. I would say, although they're not really hills, they're more like flat hexagons with a texture that looks mountainous.
Okay.
There's gold in them, they're hexagons.
Yeah. but, you know, you can either win by, you have to spend resources to capture new tiles. And then, you know, it takes a very large amount of resources to, invade someone else's tile, and you have to have the right fort set up and all that stuff. So you can win either by, just capturing all of the tiles from your opponent.
Okay.
Or you can win by getting enough, almost think of them as, I forget what they're called, but it's like civilization points or something like that, where if you build big enough towns, you'll get lots of points for those. And if you get your points above a certain threshold, you can win just by virtue of being, you know, a big civilized area.
Right, right. So it's kind of like in Civilization when you win a culture victory.
Right. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you keep talking about this game, I'm getting closer and closer to relapsing into playing that game now.
But it's absolutely great. There's this element of, you know, you can at the very beginning, it's this crazy land grab, right? Because the board is randomized, and, you know, you take turns just picking what your starting space is going to be. So you kind of want to, I've never played a map where it's like you get screwed with your space, which is really cool. Like it's an incredibly balanced game. But then you kind of decide where you want to start and what your strategy is going to be. And then the beginning of the game is everyone makes this crazy land grab to try to execute their strategy. And you kind of start capturing all the different tiles and the borders play out. You can play with up to four people. Then it goes into almost this, like, everyone turtles up and, you know, starts building their base, their resources start, you know, coming in. And then, you know, the first person will get build a fort for invasions. And then everyone else starts throwing up walls and building their own forts, and then things get crazy. So it's got this great rhythm to it, and there's just a lot of different ways to approach it. I've done the, you know, just capture insane amounts of land and win by respects of just being gigantic. I've done, I'm going to hold a very small but incredibly strategic region and let other people kind of break themselves against me until, I have my chance to strike back. There's, each randomized map I've played very differently and had a lot of success playing differently. Mm-hmm. So I've probably got about 7 to 10 games of this going at once, just by virtue of, you know, I always want to have that little red dot on my app that tells me I can take a turn.
You keep badges on?
What's that?
You keep application badges on?
Is that where it just tells you there's something new?
Yeah, where it has like under an email, like it gives you the little number on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes I do.
Yeah, that is crazy making. I can't have that.
Oh yeah, I could see how it could be really, really disturbing. Like I've got some notification buttons on apps that have just been there for probably 3 months, just because I haven't felt like going in and addressing them. So
yeah,
but it's New World Colony. When I downloaded it, it was free. It's a lot of fun. It works through like the iPhone's internal game center matchmaking app, so it's mm-hmm. impossible to find anyone you know to play them. but it is fun to kind of just jump in and compete against strangers.
Yeah.
And I've basically been spending way too much time at my desk kind of staring down at this instead of working in the past day or two.
Yeah. It's a man, whenever anybody like talks about like using their cell phone at work, all I could think about was when I worked a shitty office job, And it, you know, it was mostly, I was in college, but most of the people there were in high school, and everybody was like texting, but like you weren't allowed to text.
Because
you had to be entering orders, right? You know, because all of the managers were teachers who were on summer break, right? So it was very much a schoolroom environment, and you would walk around, and you would walk up a row of cubes, and you would like see people like take their phone out from under their desk and set it next to them and continue working. Like everybody, just by walking, just by like knowing that somebody was coming around, it's like, oh, everybody is using their phone under their desk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always felt like the whole limiting, you know, what you're allowed to do at your office computer probably in the long run actually made things worse, because then everyone does the exact same things on their cell phone, which takes twice as long.
Pretty much.
Well, you heard when they officially made it illegal to have your phone out while driving, they actually saw a spike in crashes, because instead of holding it like up above the steering wheel where you kind of could see the road still, people were doing it down on their laps where they had to look completely away from the road.
That's asinine.
Yeah, see, we're not. It's surprising we're not extinct yet. Really, when you look at some of the decisions we make.
Yeah,
I was never a fan of the whole anti-texting stuff. Simply because, you know, like 90% of the time, you know, that's a horrible idea. But I mean, there are legitimate times where it's, you know, I'm trying to figure out where the hell I'm going or something like that. I don't know. I guess I don't see it that much different than like what we did before, which was just like print out directions and try to read them, or try to read a map or whatever.
But that's why these things talk to us now.
I always just pull over if I need to look up directions.
Yeah. That's the smart thing to do. I don't know. I just talking to my dad. Were you waiting for me to validate you?
Yes, I'm smart.
Yeah. No, it's some horrible stuff results from people texting while they're driving. Like, I feel weird even advancing like a track on my MP3 player while I'm driving, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, like it's really that bad. There was a neat game. It was like a flash game. It might have like broke or made its first appearance on the New York Times website, but it was like, here's what it's actually doing to you when you text and drive. So you were driving down a 6-lane highway, and you had to respond to text messages while also trying to maneuver to the right lane, like to the proper one. And it actually measures how much your reaction time is diminished when you're like trying to type in like "be there in 10," right?
Huh.
Yeah. So about this New World Colony thing, have you played the Civilization Revolution game for the iPhone, Dennis?
PS3?
Yes.
Have not.
I recommend you try it out, because what you're describing sounds very similar to that, except it's on hexes instead of squares.
Hey, Dennis, do you like free time?
I feel uncomfortable answering that, because I
if
feel like
not.
Yes,
Civ Rev's the game for you. Yeah. It's a great game.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, a Civ Rev knockoff. I assumed it was like a Settlers of Catan knockoff, but it's a knockoff of
good stuff.
I don't even know if it's a knockoff. It's a resource management game.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. So do that.
Yeah.
And that's everything new I've been playing. I've done more Left 4 Dead co-op with David, with Jala, and with her friend Conrad, and it's just been an absolute blast.
Nice.
We got to the end of the theme park level last night, and literally seconds before we won it, like all we had to do was get to the choppa. The server crashed and kicked us out.
Oh.
And it was one of those things where I was like, you know, we were like, ah, that sucks. No. But then I realized, you know, like, I'm not that mad that I have to play through that again. It's fun to play with other people. So
how'd you like the roller coaster?
We just sprinted. It was,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of disappointing.
Is there a trick to it?
Oh, no, just normally, I would say that's, at least from I've played all except for the last level. I would say that's easily the most difficult part in the game.
Oh, I had like a chainsaw, so anything that got near me when I was running was...
Well, and what I was about to say is, did you notice from the first thing on, I grabbed a chainsaw and then didn't use it?
Oh, yeah.
There was a very good reason for that.
Aha, uh-huh. I see.
No, wait, what gets really nasty is sometimes they'll spawn smokers and pull you off of that.
Oh, no, we didn't have that happen to us. That would have been lame.
Who wants to go next?
I could go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, obviously I've been playing some Left 4 Dead with Cole. With Cole. Yes, with Cole. He didn't know it, though. He thought he was doing something else.
I thought those were just dreams.
With Dennis, it's mostly been going really good, although I think we found that the NPCs in the game, on the whole, are fairly well programmed, but they're not programmed to intelligently avoid witches.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, they're not programmed to, you know, avoid, you know, firing near her, really. And also, like, if she's blocking a path, they'll straight up run into her.
And for reference, for anyone who hasn't played, witches are this bad guy that's probably the hardest enemy. It's almost certain death to engage them, but they don't actively come after you. You have to kind of really go bother them to wake them up.
Which is one of the funnest parts of the game.
Oh, you're one of those jerks that just runs straight up to him, aren't you?
Yeah.
See, for me, and that's kind of actually wise. Yeah, for me, I feel like even if you take out the witch, you know, with no casualties, stuff like that, I feel like by the very fact that you alerted it, I feel like I've lost. Like, to me that almost seems like, you know, if I, you know, like in Assassin's Creed, I can just walk in and like sword fight all the guards and stab the guy, but that's not the point. I know. So I get disappointed every time the NPCs attack the witches, but
yeah, that's why I just have to play with all four people.
I was gonna say,
well,
I guess
all four people. That go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was gonna say, I guess I just hate the witch, or like, I don't know. I do it out of spite because they try and make it seem like she's so powerful and can't be defeated. So. Molotov shotgun.
Trying to take her down a peg or two.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll get something to cry about. I would love to see a Molotov shotgun.
Wouldn't that just be like white phosphorus rounds?
You could have a Mazel Tov shotgun that fires rice.
That episode was name?
Oh, ow.
Sorry. I am so sorry.
Mazel Tov shotgun.
No having fun.
You're becoming a man now.
This is teaching Cole to laugh at pain.
Pain, but don't hurt.
Then, been playing, continuing to play through Eve. It's kind of very, very slow burn. I finally unlocked the next combat ship class, which are cruisers. And there's a couple different ways you can go, but I'm kind of channeling my inner Barack Obama and going full out Predator drone. Outfitting.
Okay.
On my ship. So it's actually kind of awesome because I can just kind of fly into the mission, sit there, and send out a whole bunch of drones to like fly up and start lasering my enemies and kill them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, but yeah, not real eventful. And then I'm still playing through. Sleeping Dogs. I really cannot quite get used to the whole driving on the left side of the road thing. I now understand how Caleb felt.
Caleb being our former roommate and current friend who is from Hong Kong.
And for more background, I once got in the car with him. He went to pull out and said, "Wait, in America, is it the right side or the left side?" So I end up fairly often like pulling into oncoming traffic.
How many references have there been this episode to either car crashes or
yeah?
maybe I'm just noticing it. But.
Well, it is blue car on fire syndrome. In that whenever you see a blue car on fire, whenever you have a blue car that's on fire, you notice all other blue cars that are on fire.
But one feature they have that I really like that I'd love to see other games implement is they have a ramming button.
Okay.
So I think it's like a bumper on the if you're using controller, but it's the control button on PC. So you press control and a direction and your car will kind of accelerate real quick in that direction for a couple feet, you know, even if you're already going top speed. Okay. So that's how you use pretty much if you're in like a chase or something, you know, get up behind the guy and then, you know, use that to ram him, or if they're beside you, use it to, you know, ram him off the side of the road.
That's pretty cool. I like that. As opposed to just trying to do it.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, they kind of distill down the core essence of what you're trying to do. In those situations, it seems like, you know, just using the controls, you almost never can actually do it.
Right.
But, really very good game.
Cool. Yeah. Anything else?
Nah, that's what I've got.
Okay. Ben, how about you?
All right, I got a tale of threes, because it's been a while since we could, even on the bonus episode we didn't do any grinding, so
grind freeze it.
Yeah, I know,
like a middle school dance.
Since 3 weeks ago or however long ago it's been, I've beat Far Cry 3.
Okay.
So that notch has been made.
We had a lot of speculation, like a lot of questions about whether or not it fell apart in kind of the last third. Were those warranted?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it does. The mechanics of the game are cool. The storyline is just not that great. So, there's a few interesting things they did that were kind of novel as far as like their choice of the main character and kind of with the voice acting that they do early on. But, I feel like the game kind of falls apart in the sense that there's maybe one game choice they made in the second half of the game that was interesting to me. But beyond that, I felt like it was pretty conservative as far as, the things that happen, you could see in, you know, four or five games that come out this year, I'm sure. Right. So,
it falls apart, in the last third, speaking vaguely so as not to spoiler, is that after the new island?
I guess so. I mean, I'd say the first main boss fight. So, I mean, I guess there's maybe like two or three main bad guys in the game, maybe. So after the first one, I was not that interested in the story, I guess. They had lost me, I guess. I felt like there was very little character development as far as your allies go. And like having any sort of sense of, like there's no development for their friends outside of like one mission per person. And so, you know, I really didn't, you know, care if they lived or died or not, you know, they had very vague personalities, you know, So that was kind of interesting. I also didn't quite agree with their focus of which bad guys they focused on and in what order. I might have reorganized that structure a little bit. Yeah. So yeah. I don't want to mention too many details in case people are playing through it, but yeah. So I mean, you know, the mechanics are fun as far as just like being able to explore the island, upgrade your guns, taking over bases, like that can be fun to do. They have one thing I thought was interesting. They have a Texas Hold'em. You can play Texas Hold'em at the, you know, any of the islands or whatever. I thought it was interesting the entire time I was comparing it to Red Dead Redemption in my head. But that game did it so much better because in that game you could cheat and win, and so it was, I mean, so it made it more fun, but then it was also reinforcing the theme of the game being a Western sort of game.
Right.
But here it was just kind of there for little to no reason. I mean, I guess they used it a couple of times, but yeah, I don't know. So yeah, so the mechanics are fun. It might be a good game to rent, but I will, I wouldn't suggest having too high of expectations of it or buying it. So
I'm still holding out though for Dinosaur Expansion.
Just turning it into Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Come on, how awesome would that be?
I mean, to me as a person on the outside, the hunting for animals sounds like one of the most interesting parts. So if they just added those in and made them a little bit more dangerous and prominent, I could see that being neat.
See, yeah. I would actually say, at least for me, the animals probably were one of the most dangerous things, or at least they were definitely what I died to the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly the damn hell lizards.
You gotta watch out for those.
The damn hell lizards.
The Komodo dragons get incredibly annoying.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they did a half decent job with their upgrade system, the way that you would hunt and you could upgrade like your backpack essentially, or you know, you could craft better things. So that was pretty good for a while. But I don't think it really had enough functionality to be worthwhile in the end. There wasn't really enough that you could unlock, or you know, there weren't enough new features, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
And so Cole, I think you know the next game that I'm gonna talk about. Do you guys have any questions about Far Cry 3 before I move on?
No, I do not. No.
I'm excited about this new one.
The next game that I played was Tomb Raider.
Ah, yes.
So, sticking with the jungle theme.
You sent me a text like with both of those on the same frame saying, I'm going jungle to jungle like Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm. pulling the Tim Allen.
Getting busted for crack possession and dealing?
It was before his comedy career, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah. So I picked up Tomb Raider and I mean, I guess on a whim, it had lukewarm reviews, but I guess more from word of mouth I had heard that it was decent. And to tell you the truth, I had a lot more fun with that game than I did Far Cry 3. It had similar problems as Far Cry 3.
Okay.
And the fact that the storyline I really didn't care that much about. It has a similar arc where, you know, you're on an island, you have to save your friends at some point, you know. So there's some strong similarities there, and they share kind of the same weaknesses as far as storyline goes, just of not developing characters that you care about, or just using the characters for certain means and just kind of I don't know how to describe it other than saying that it's just what they weren't developed enough. And
yeah, it's like, okay, we want you to do this thing and it would be awesome if you cared about it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So without I'll just say in both games, it's possible for at least one friend to die at some point in time, somewhere, maybe. But in both games, they use that like as just like, it's so cheap. They just use it as a way like, oh, don't you feel bad now? That person died. Maybe, you know, if that happens.
Yeah.
But it's so poorly done. Like you can tell that it's only being done just to try and elicit an emotional response, but they haven't done the work of building up these characters for it to be upsetting. So
I, just a quick callback to Far Cry on that. They do the exact same thing in Far Cry 2.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe kind of statute of limitations is off on that one. And I was more mad that I didn't get the trophy that I was going for when my friend died versus my friend dying.
As a side note, your friend doesn't have to die in Far Cry 2.
Well, that's the problem, is I had been going for one thing and another happened. I was like, damn it, I didn't get the trophy I wanted.
See, I find that, maybe it's just Eye of the Beholder, because I actually, my friend dying in Far Cry 2 ranks up there as one of the most emotional things I can remember from a video game.
Really? But
maybe that's just me.
Huh.
Yeah, the whole notion of caring about something in video games, like, that is a black art to a certain extent, you know, just because they can do so much, but like how do they know they're going to press the right buttons for you, right? Like, how do they know that they're going to make this likable? What's the way that they can write this thing to make you care when they die?
Sure. And I think for me, it, like in Far Cry 2, it wasn't so much that I cared about the character so much as it is, you know, having someone beg you to overdose them on morphine is kind of, I don't know, is kind of stressful.
That's right. Also, you know, they randomly assign you who your friend is going to be. And I got like the jolly old fat guy who's a Teddy Roosevelt caricature. So
see, and that could be, I mean, not to be whatever, but you know, I got a chick, which, you know, science would say tends to be more, emotional.
Yeah, I could see that.
I guess the reason why I didn't feel so emotional about that game is because I had so many different I had so many different partners, but like they all do the same animation when they die and asking for morphine or whatever. And so,
Grant, like, to me, it only happened once, and it happened relatively late in the game. So that I definitely agree. Like, if it happened a second time, it probably wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah, right. And perhaps invalidate the first time, even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Does Tomb Raider kind of deliver on the kind of crazy messed up feel that their preview materials it kind of indicated that it would have?
Oh yeah. So back to Tomb Raider.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring it back because we're talking about people begging you to euthanize them, and I just remember some of the weird stuff that happened to Lara. You know.
Yeah, so let me give like an overview of the game. The strength of Tomb Raider is that they borrow a lot of good elements from good games, and the overall result is a pretty good game. It's not as good of any of the games that they borrow from, but it's still a pretty solid game. So as far as like the storyline goes, it has a similar progression as Resident Evil 4, as far as like the intrigue and the action element to it. But then mixed in with that, with the level design, it's kind of like Arkham City or like a Metroid type game where there's a lot of double backing, since it gives you a good sense of where you're at, because you're on an island. And so the entire game, you're exploring this island, similar to Far Cry 3, but it's not open world. It's, you know, kind of corridor. Okay, but then on top of that, they have they'll intersperse this with puzzle elements that'll be like similar to like Portal or Portal 2. So it has like a lot of really cool elements to it, you know, but overall it's not as good as any of those games that I just named, but it's still pretty good.
Right.
So anyway, back to what you were talking about with the preview material they showed. I think that was mostly like maybe like a shipwreck and like Laura getting mildly impaled.
Mildly. With, yeah, on some rebar, yeah.
Yeah.
You're just a little impaled. Shake it off.
Just a little airborne. It's still good.
Yeah, so that's kind of – that happens very near the beginning of the game. And that was actually – when I first started playing, that was a criticism I had of it is the fact I was thinking of Arkham Asylum and how effective the technique they had where Batman's costume progressed with the game.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, if you had a fight with someone, you would notice there was, like, a tear on his cape, and that would stay there for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And just like how effective that was, that made you kind of feel the progression of like how far you've come, you know, and it's a constant reminder of where you've been. So I was thinking about that and comparing it to this. And so that happens in the game, you know, she gets impaled or whatever, but they don't even address it after that. You know, she's basically like, walk it off now. Come on.
And that's too bad.
And yeah, and that's all that happens. And it's like, oh, well, that would have been so much more effective if I, you know, would have played as Lara Croft, you know, for X amount of hours. And then that happened, you know, maybe 2 hours or 3 hours into it. You know, it would be much more affecting if they did it that way. However, they didn't, but whatever, you know. So I kind of saw that as a missed opportunity. But anyway, when the game opens up, again, it feels very much like a Resident Evil 4, which is a good thing. You're kind of exploring the island in the same way that Leon explores the villages. And you know, it has much of the same format. You know, you'll go into a new area and there will be a random three or four people who try and attack you and you kill them and then you move on. Some of the nice things though, is the, as I mentioned before, how it's kind of like Arkham Asylum. You'll constantly be getting new, not really gadgets, but kind of like survival equipment, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But that'll open up new areas of the map and progress the story that way. And you know, it's like a typical game where it has collectibles as you go about. So it'll be like people's letters or you know, voice journal entries or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's your typical fare. But just overall, they just make a lot of good small decisions that just make the gameplay a lot of fun. So simple tasks like climbing is enjoyable in the game. Their choice of weapons and how you can upgrade it are pretty satisfying. They do a good job of diversifying the functions of each weapon so that each one's good in a certain situation. So there's your weapons are a crossbow, shotgun, AK, and a handgun. Uh-huh. But they do a good job of unlocking functionality for each one of those that makes that a good choice in a certain situation. Right. So yeah. So I mean, it was a lot of fun to play. I already beat it, so it took about a week or so. But you know, that kind of speaks to how fun the game is. Yeah.
I mean, and it's also not like a crazy long. It doesn't. It doesn't feel like it overstays its welcome.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that would. I liked about the game is I feel like they set the stage for what will probably be a really great second game.
Yeah.
It feels similar to Uncharted 1 where, you know, they got a lot of really good things right. And now that they have this platform set up, I think they'll, if they focus on making a solid storyline, I think they'll have a really great second game.
The sad part is that Square Enix has come out and said, like, hey, Hitman Absolution and Tomb Raider have sold below expectations.
Hmm. Yeah, but their expectations weren't realistic.
Yeah, that's true. But just whenever I see that about a good game, it's just kind of like, oh, so we're never going to see that again, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like video games has this unique phenomena where the second game usually, movie trilogies do this too, but like, you know, the second game usually is really, really good. Like you talked about Dead Space 2 or Mass Effect 2 or like there's
Silent Hill
2. There's just this opportunity to iron out some of the wrinkles and really nail things when you're doing the second version of a game. So I feel like that they shouldn't be so shy about going to round two, even if even if round one had some rough edges.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll do it anyway, because you know, you're not going to walk away from a franchise like that. You know, you've already put in all the dev time.
If Angel of Darkness didn't kill Tomb Raider, this good game can't kill Tomb Raider.
Yep.
So, as someone who's never played Tomb Raider before, there is one thing I've always wanted. Does the game, any of the games, incorporate at all supernatural elements? Does it ever get Indiana Jones style?
Yes.
It's similar, yeah.
It does? Okay.
Don't you fight a dinosaur in the first game?
Yes.
Oh, see, this is the first Tomb Raider I've played.
I played 1 and 2 like a while back.
I would say it's closer to Raiders of the Lost Ark and not like Indiana Jones 4. If that makes it a better sell.
Yeah.
What was it, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Man, I never heard of that. Okay.
Indiana.
Repressed is the word you're looking for.
Let me think of sorry. Just gonna think about
that, or he just doubled his meds. Who are you?
Driving
guys?
Him to drinking.
Why is this microphone here? Oh man, yeah, Tomb Raider. I want to play that very, very badly. Actually, it looks very fun.
I'd say it's worthwhile. Hey, you got to play Hitman still. What are you
doing?
I know.
I'm on the backlog chase, dog. I'm a backlog chase.
Have you checked any games off that recently?
No. Like, my life has been a fucking disarray, Dennis.
This is true.
Like, see, I feel like you with the backlog, it reminds me of, what is it, Family Guy? You know, so, Brian, how's that novel going?
Yeah.
You
know, well,
so, Dennis, how's that backlog?
This is the second time you've confused me.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Wow. You switched places.
Yeah, but it's no, it's one of those things where by the act of making this thing, it's like a contract to say that I'll take care of this thing.
Harry, I've taken care of it.
Oh God, ow. Like in a normal world, like in a just world, I would be like in a new place by now, like able to take a couple of days off and just like recover my fucking sprained torso and play and catch up on a bunch of video games. Maybe play through Hitman and then Bioshock Infinite when it comes in, you know. But I can't.
Be taking my normal muscle relaxers, alcohol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, I could have gotten into a car accident, but it was just kind of like, okay, take 3 days and, you know, just get back to normal. Awesome. Great. But I can't. So I would like to. This just became me complaining, so I apologize. However, you said it's a story of threes. What else three did you play?
It's not what have I played, but what will I be playing?
Oh, yes.
I got Bioshock Infinite, so I'm going to play that as soon as we're done talking.
I'm upset. I ordered my copy a little bit too late from Amazon, so it's coming in tomorrow instead of today. Like, it wouldn't do me any good because my Xbox is in a box.
Boxing.
What?
Never mind.
Recursion.
Did you turn into Jerry Lewis there? And the blade and in the box and the that's more of a Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Cool. Yeah. I don't even know. Cool. Alright. Fuck.
Multiplayer.
Now it's time for the multiplayer section of the show, where we involve you in some form or fashion. This week, instead of having a conversation prompt, we opted to do free play, which is where we take your questions and try and answer them the best as possible. We're starting right out of the gate with Gary Butterfield, who asks us to articulate why we don't pirate games. Which, I mean, it's
quite presumptuous, Gary.
Did it just get hot in here?
I thought, Dennis, this would be fairly easy for you. I mean, why would you need to pirate Saints Row the Third?
Yeah. Like, we're not talking about something in the abstract here. We're talking about somebody literally stealing something from somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. I was just going to say, maybe you can't find the ROM online.
What do you mean? Like, isn't finding the ROM online also stealing it?
I'm saying you don't pirate it because you can't find it to pirate.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you get my joke? It's funny.
Yes. I think I do understand. Well, I'll start because I am a grown-ass man who makes money and I can afford to buy the things that I want to enjoy. I like being able to support people, by giving them money for the things that they do. And that gets even easier with things like digital distribution, where more of the cut goes to the developer, especially if it's an indie kind of, kind of thing. Like, I would feel like a real shitheel if I ever pirated like an indie game. Right. And because that is the majority of what I play, it's a good portion of what I play. If I was out pirating things, it would be a real concern for me. And it kind of feels like prices are getting more manageable too. Like, if I looked at the games that I played, just went back through the list, I would say I got most of them for less than $20. They just, the games in general, they go on sale more.
Now that I have Steam, my average game price has probably been cut, by about 75%.
Yeah. It just the infrastructure is there for you to buy these games. GOG is around. The virtual console is around,
Right.
Like abandonware is quickly becoming not a thing because these companies are giving us the things that we want to play. Right.
I think it's also, maybe this makes me one of the sheep for the new or whatever, but I would rather play a game with Steam integrated than without.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
I mean, I mean, even if I had the option of, a completely open ROM or a, one it with DRM in the form of Steam, I'd probably choose Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I have to say the always on DRM makes me really reconsider whether I'm morally opposed to pirating games.
I don't know. I think that a lot of people who are going down that road, like, they're using it to justify like not paying money for something.
Rationalization, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
I was gonna say I'm gonna protest this game for its DRM by pirating it. That way, I make sure every other game that they put out also has DRM.
See, I guess for me, it's more a thing where I strictly don't pirate games, and I still get punished for it. So I kind of feel if you're going to punish me anyways, I might as well profit.
I guess, but that's not a sustainable. If everybody did that, we wouldn't have games to talk about.
Right. Yes, I did use that fallacy. I don't pirate games.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it makes me want to. Agree.
I did use the moral imperative in talking about video games, so why not?
So fun fact about me, I would be, despite some moral beliefs I hold, without some moral beliefs I hold, I would be a total kleptomaniac. Like, every time I walk through a store, especially like small things that people would never miss or like a candy bar or whatever, like it's constantly on my mind. So I feel like, pirating games. And I actually I've downloaded ROMs for old NES games.
Yeah.
But I've always just clipped it and who knows? This is not a cogent point. but yeah, I'm a kleptomaniac at heart.
I have noticed that when you get drunk, you turn into a Kender.
Well, that's a deep cut. Wow. Referring to obscure races in the Dragonlance. Kenders are the hobbits of the Dragonlance books. Huh. Who also steal things without realizing it. Yeah.
Do hobbits do that?
No, they're burglars, right?
Hobbits
are sneaky.
Are?
They're sneaky. Yeah,
I didn't know they stole though. I just thought they were jolly. Yeah,
we're not having this debate.
No, we're not. We are not having this debate. Yeah, that's probably a good point. But yeah, Like, I mean, I've pirated stuff in the past, you know, like I think that anybody who says that they haven't is probably not being entirely honest.
I tend to pirate books, although am I the only
I wasn't
one
asking,
who
I wasn't asking for admissions.
Well, no, what I was going to say, though, is am I the only one that tends to buy books and then pirate them because I don't want to drag around a textbook with me?
I guess if you're buying textbooks.
Well, I like in college, I'd fairly often like buy the textbook and then download the PDF someone had scanned because I didn't want to read like 8 textbooks to my, which, you know, that's what I mean when I say, you know, I technically have pirated a great number of textbooks.
Yeah. But that seems reasonable. Like for Watch Out for Fireballs, we're playing Sonic 3 and Knuckles. And you know, I don't want to plug in my Sega Genesis to play it. You know, but I do own it. It's on my shelf, or more accurately, it's in a box right now. So I downloaded the ROM. I own it. I bought it way back when I was, you know, so-and-so. You know, I don't know if that technically makes it legal, but I feel like that is, you know, roughly, roughly justified. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just as bad as, you know, everybody who says piracy ain't a crime.
You wouldn't download the car.
So
go ahead.
So the only games that I have ever pirated have been games that I have bought actual copies of before, and usually they're like emulators of games from way back when, like Donkey Kong Country or something like that.
Yeah.
I really don't play games on computer often because my computers are usually never that good. But there's two reasons why I don't really pirate games outside of the fact that I can't then, I guess. But one reason is for some reason I like to support game developers, but I'm kind of a hypocrite with that because I don't often support musicians as much as I do people, video game developers. Mm-hmm. But then the second reason, the real reason, is just to spite GameStop. So I will pay full price for a game anywhere but GameStop, and I feel satisfaction from that. So
that's funny. Yeah, and there's the whole other, like, do you buy new, do you buy used, or if you buy used, are you the devil, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing.
Am I the only one who's ever bought used explicitly because I don't want the person who made it to get money?
What was the situation?
Well, like, for example, I would never buy the most recent SimCity not used, simply because I don't want them to have money. Oh. Or, like, I'm debating seeing if I can get Call of Duty, was it 3 or whatever, or 4, whatever the most recent one is, used, simply because I'm still pissed about them not having servers. But
you're talking about Codwops?
Yeah. No, not COD minus the blops.
Vanilla COD?
Vanilla COD.
Vanilla COD.
I'd like to play the game. I'd like to play the single player, but I don't want them to get any money from me.
Hmm. Yeah, but that gets tricky with PC games, especially because you can't buy them used, or exactly. It's very difficult to buy them used because oftentimes all you're really buying is the code that comes in the box, and those are redeemed when you know, once you enter them. So blah. Huh? Yeah. So, I mean, it's don't pirate stuff if you can buy it. I don't know. I feel like games are cheap, but then again, I don't have a family or kids. So, you know, my priorities are weird. moving on, Geolaw. What does Geolaw say? You can have a beer with any video game character. Who do you choose and why?
Go. Chell, so that you can hear her say something.
Go ahead. Somebody else.
I'm going to say Nathan Drake. Feels like he'd be a good person to party with.
Okay.
Yeah, for the similar reason, I was going to say either Drake or Dante, because they both seem like they'd probably be fairly fun to go out to a bar with.
Yeah. I would say Lee from The Walking Dead.
Aw, Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it seems like a genuinely interesting guy. College professor would be interesting to talk to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Murderer, we could talk about his crimes.
This was, I thought, a fairly difficult question, simply because I tend to project on my characters. You know, I always set up the character to be as like me as possible because I play for, you know, escapism, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, very few of the main characters, I think, you know, I really, you know what their names were or whatever, because as far as I'm concerned, they're basically me.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, Cole, I'm surprised you didn't go with Shepard, but was it because of similar reasons?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, Shepard isn't a character, really. Like, if I were to pick somebody, like, from that universe, like, maybe Morden.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. Morden seems like he'd be fun to drink with, but...
Probably drink coffee with Morden.
Oh, no. That's funny. And then let's do one last one here. Jala says... if you were able to create your own game, what would it be like? How would it differ from other games, and how would it be similar? This could turn into a really long thing, so let's try and keep it snappy. Similar to my previous answer, like my thing would probably be similar to The Walking Dead in a lot of ways, at least in the way that it worked, because I only write 2 second or two minute commercials. 2 second commercials. Wow. 2 minute commercials.
Like, new challenge.
Like, it's difficult for me to conceive of, you know, a story like that. It would be like I would like to do something that was like that played like The Walking Dead, but kind of had the mythology and world of The Longest Journey, where it was like a nice mixture of like sci-fi and fantasy. A little bit, but not like overstated in either direction. And maybe with like a David Lynch kind of feel. So if I could do a Walking Dead game that was like a David Lynch aesthetic, like, you know, Twin Peaks kind of feel, but also fantasy and sci-fi. Oh God, that is the nerdiest thing in the entire world. Yeah. That's mine.
I really liked, the concept of, in, oh, Silent Hill, where, you know, our world is a combination of, you know, both good and evil, you know, light and darkness, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So in, you know, games like Silent Hill, when a demon shows up, you know, the pure evil is incompatible with our reality and causes everything to, you know, go all, you know, other world style.
Yeah.
What I thought would be interesting is something actually the Ravenloft for Pen and Paper did, is they argued that it's equally incompatible for pure good to exist in our world in the form, in that case, of like angels. So they cause the same sort of, you know, other world type effects. So I think it'd be interesting to do a survival horror game where it wasn't so much pure evil warping the world so much as it was pure light and good.
What would be interesting about that is then you would be the monster in that world.
Right. Yeah, it copied the concept of, you know, light can allow you to see, but it can also blind you. You know, people, you know, we draw our energy from the sun, but we can't live on the sun.
Right.
So.
That'd be a really interesting inversion of so many times the games use darkness to scare you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would just try and find as many developers of Coder 1 and 2 as I could and make a third one. So.
Force them to misery style?
You know, whatever would get that same experience, you know, whatever means.
Which game, I'm sorry?
Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. Fantastic games.
Yeah.
Jedi RPGs. How could people not love those?
It's JRPGs?
Yeah, exactly. It's the best kind of JRPG.
It's funny because like I feel like we're not describing the game that we are called to make. There's kind of like, this is an idea that's inside of us. We're describing the game that we wish was made. Right. Mm-hmm. Like this would be my favorite thing.
In some ways.
So,
well, because I'm an engineer, which means I have, you know, do not have a artistic bone in my body.
I think I would do, I had this idea a while back and I really like it, but it would be a game kind of about discrimination and about overcoming a disability. Mm-hmm. And so it would be, think like a Scribblenauts art style 2D platformer where you are like a kid video game character, in video game character school. So like all your friends would be like the tropes of the Lara Croft trope or the, you know, the adventurer, trope or, you know, survival horror protagonist trope and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So your classmates are kind of all these funny trips for the game.
Yeah.
But each level would be, you know, a timed platforming puzzle where you'd have to use a power up to get through it. And, you know, so everyone gets like the flying power up or the invisibility power up or the double jump power up, mm-hmm. except your character, for whatever reason, power ups don't work on him.
Oh, wow.
So you see all your friends or all your classmates just, you know, get through these puzzles and get a good time and, you know, overcome these obstacles that it seems like at first you could only get through using that power up. And then you have to figure out for yourself how you would get through being unable to use the power up that everyone else was relying on.
Right.
And so of course your score would be horrible and you'd always be in last place, but you were struggling through and beating the level mm-hmm. without any of the aid that anyone else was able to get.
Right. That's actually an awesome idea, Dennis.
Yeah, the title would be Johnny Power Up. That would be the name of your character.
You're giving away like a really good idea. Do you want me to edit that out?
if you know someone who could develop that, I would love to. I sat down for about 5 minutes and tried to draw what a level might look like, and I realized I'm completely inept. But if you know anyone who is any good at game design, I would love to make something like that.
Well, we have prior art, so if they take it, this is. Yeah,
like I said, it's one of those things where, you know, I always have 100 ideas for stories bouncing around my head. And whenever I'm bored, I'll come back and kind of flesh it out a little bit. And I've got outlines out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe put out the call. If anyone knows how to develop games and likes that idea, I think it could be a really fun little game.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, with that, wow, I kind of want to think about that and think about how that would be. Sorry, no, I just, that's really cool.
So Murph Murphy brought up a couple different games. He talked about Infamous 2 and Crysis, but the question he posed was, what game made you feel the most powerful? And so I had thought about this. I had two answers for this. One was Half-Life 2. If mm-hmm. anybody has made it to the end of that game, they know what I'm talking about. Yes. And the second one was Katamari Damacy.
Oh, yeah.
Katamari, I believe that's how it's from. Yeah. So how you start off the size of a coin, and the more you roll around, the more you pick stuff up, and the bigger you get. And by the end of it, you're in space, and you're so huge.
You're rolling up entire planets and stars and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an exciting 10 or 15 minutes that – I don't think another game has matched that sort of feeling that you get from that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of my answer. So if somebody wants to go, they can go.
Devil May Cry, hands down. Devil May Cry 3, to be specific.
How does it make you feel powerful?
It's a legitimately difficult game, and that combined with just the move sets and everything looking, having a really cool feel to them. That kind of blend of you know, overcoming difficulty and looking cool doing it is really, really empowering. Especially, you know, the bosses are very, you know, they're spectacles, and it's got that Dark Souls buzzword feel of just the first time you see them, you're like, there is no way. So when you finally overcome them and you look so cool doing it, and you're like, hell yeah, I'm awesome.
Yeah. I would
and turn, then your character says something like, hell yeah, I'm awesome. So.
I would take that and turn it around to Dark Souls, because it feels almost like Shadow of the Colossus, and that it does seem insurmountable when you first see this thing. But once you figure it out, you get the sense that it's not by virtue of like them giving you a new ability, which is awesome in Half-Life 2, or them like increasing the numbers that you do. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I have a sword that'll do 9999 damage. Awesome. Great. But it's actually you as a person, you kind of like overcoming this kind of challenge to your confidence. Right. So, yeah. So like that, like it's making you feel, it's making you feel powerful by making you feel powerless first and then giving you just enough to get, you know, get around it.
You know, in Dark Souls, I don't know if it would be my most powerful, but one of them that stands out is the point where when I got to the point where I could take and block with my shield, like a full power strike with you know, like a club that's twice the size I was.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just that separation between, you know, when I was starting out and like almost any attack would like break my guard to the point where, you know, I could take, you know, like some huge demon's hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting the equipment that gives you the poise to be able to absorb those attacks.
Exactly. Yeah. Was that yours? I'm sorry.
Yes, that was mine. Go ahead.
I'd have to go with Infamous would probably be, you know, honorable mentions. I think PsyOps did a lot for that.
Yeah, PsyOps goes a long way for that. Mm-hmm.
I think both PsyOps and Far Cry 2 and 3 are ones where when you're on your game and you're just, you know, using your powers one after the other, using the stealth moves one after the other, they feel very powerful. Mm-hmm. But I think my number one choice would still have to be City of Heroes.
Okay.
I still think that's probably the number one game in terms of making you feel like you have superpowers.
Mm-hmm. In that it actually gives you superpowers.
Right, exactly. Well, and just in the fact that, like, you straight up, once you're done, can jump on the top of, you know, jump up to the roof of a skyscraper and then call up wind to knock an enemy off said skyscraper while your teammate's ninja dude with a katana waits at the bottom and finishes him off. I mean, that's fairly badass.
Yeah.
So I have a question that was very divisive between me and my high school friends. Given the choice between flying, super jump, and running fast, which would you choose?
My number one would be Flash Step, which is basically very, very limited, very very controlled super speed.
Mm-hmm. Think like what Wesker does.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you talking about the mechanics of City of Heroes, or are you talking about just in general?
Just in general, that's probably the superpower I most often wish I had.
Oh, because in City of Heroes, anything other than flying is frustrating.
Super speed has some advantages, but yeah, no. I know. Basically, what I'm saying is, every time I'm sparring, I think, wow, this would be much easier if I was actually fast enough to get out of the way of legs and hands hitting flying at me.
What about you, Ben?
Super jump in a second.
Yeah.
And I was chastised for that decision.
Dennis?
Flying, definitely.
Yeah. Invisibility.
He's an introvert. Get him.
Oh god, ow.
Well, you got him.
So
I killed him with laughter.
So with that, we end the multiplayer segment. Thank you so much, everybody, for writing in. We really appreciate that. If you would like to participate in these things, watch the Twitter feed, that is DuckFeed TV, or watch the Facebook group. It goes to both places when I put out the call to action. So we're going to skip the end bosses and go right to the credits because I am, as I said at the beginning of this, high as fuck. painkillers prescribed. Car accident, life happens, and then you get medication.
Wow, thank you. Most depressing Hallmark card ever.
Life happens, and then you get medication. So, again, we thank you so much for listening. You know, we really appreciate it. The network is having a boom time right now, the show included. Everybody's being really active on the Facebook group, and it's awesome to see the activity of picking up. Again, we all thank you for that. So in terms of things that you can do concretely to support the network, if or the show, if you get this through iTunes, you can leave us a review there or leave us a rating. That helps us get up in the charts, helps more people find us. You can like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. And you can also tell your friends. Say, hey, I know you like video games. Check these guys out. They like video games too. They make a thing that all of us enjoy. Awesome. Great. monetarily, if you would like to go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, there's the Amazon link there. We get a little kickback from everything that you buy there. It's the same Amazon experience. It's just, we take a little bit off the top. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And that goes to support fun things like purchasing our hosting, the Squarespace subscription, any kind of equipment. I just got a bunch of soundproofing for my new studio at my new apartment,
So what you're saying is it buys the non-fun things that enable the fun things.
Yes, exactly. So it's although the soundproofing is pretty neat. I'll put up pictures. I'll put up pictures. But, eventually the goal is, for everybody to have access to this kind of awesome equipment. So that helps us out in that regard. So, not required. We're doing fine on money. Some people like to have the option. If you have any ideas for t-shirt designs, that's going to be moving as soon as A, I can move again. And B, once I am moved into my new apartment. So a lot of movement happening here. So, we're going to get those rolled out. It's going to be a print to order site. You're just going to order them and they're just going to be sent right to your door. No, limits. There's no goal that we have to reach. It's just kind of like, hey, I'd like to see this thing on a shirt. Then we put that thing on a shirt and we put it in the store and you buy it. So it's real simple, you dummies. So, is there anything I missed, guys?
Check out all the shows on the DuckFeed.tv network.
Yes.
A lot of good flavors there.
So many flavors. With so many flavor
so
profiles.
So many ducks to feed.
Yeah. Well, one for pretty much every day of the week, which is neat. So without any further ado, I'm just gonna say my name's Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter. That's KOLEROSS.
Dennis Furia. I am at D Furia.
I'm David Moneysmith, and I'm at Moneysmith777.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
Awesome. Well, I had a lot of fun doing this with you guys. Don't get into car crashes. There are better ways to get pain medications.
Like through our good friend Cole.
Yeah.
Right, Cole?
Mama, speaking of opportunities to support the network.
Yeah, that's right.
Dung, 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 boom. Yep, we lost you, David.
Oh, sorry. Am I still here?
Yeah, you're here. repeat, I was never a fan of the anti-text.
Texting stuff, just
No, don't pick up where I said. Just restart your sentence over, please.
Oh.